Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:15. It's also Wednesday, the 27th of May, 151st day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Mike Wilson from the Harbor District. How you doing?
I'm good. It's a beautiful morning, as usual.
Yeah. I don't know where you've been going to school. Oh, our quote this day comes from George Eliot. Sometime between 1819 and 1880, said, quote, "I would not creep along that coast, but steer out in mid-sea by guidance of the stars."
Sure.
That's kind of cool.
All right.
A little risk.
I think it's like code.
No, I'm thinking instead of hugging the shore where everybody goes
and
you know everything, risk a little something. Go out.
All right.
See what's going on.
That's what we're
going to
do today.
Yeah. Risky being here, huh? Oh boy! So what's happening that's new out in the Great Big Bay?
In the Great Big Bay,
yeah.
Well, last week the representative from the EPA, who's been helping us clean up the pulp mill site that people know that we acquired some years ago, actually only about a year and a half ago, they have announced that they have completed the removal of all of the sludge on site, are basically all the liquids, all the mixed liquors, the pH 14 highly toxic material. 4 million gallons have been removed, and most of that went to a pulp mill in Longview. The rest of it is more of a sludge, and they're basically pulling the remainders of that out. Most of the tanks have gone. Pretty much all the tanks will be gone pretty soon, and we're hoping to actually take down the stack in July.
You mentioned the pH 14. That's pretty nasty.
That's as high of a pH.
On the old scale-a-roo, yeah.
Now, yep, that's as basic, going from between acid and base. That's as basic as you can get, which makes it extremely caustic. So it's highly reactive.
So it creates
poisonous gases.
So they took it up to another pulp mill that can utilize it?
Yep. It's been
product?
Recycled.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Used the first time, I suppose. Is this stuff that just kind of dripped and fell onto a parking lot kind of thing?
These are in tanks. These were to be used as part of the process. So they did just shut it down. When Evergreen left in the middle of the night, as they did, they just left. And so instead of having a normal shutdown of a facility like that, where you drain all those materials,
use it up until it's gone,
even burn it, because a lot of those times you can actually burn those materials. They just left.
So it just got put in a tanker and driven up the road?
Well, no, it was just left in the tanks that are on site. And so we put it in tankers, and put it up, yep.
So are those some of the tankers we'll see driving on the road that have got the funny triangles or the diamonds?
Well, they would have been, but they were all, all done now. Yeah,
typically that's the stuff that's in those kinds of rigs.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So it should be, I'm hoping that it's true that we can actually take down the stack in July. Would be pretty exciting, I think.
Is that going to be a demolition like the other one and just boom and blows down, or is somebody going to get up there with a chisel and go brick by brick?
I don't know. I think it's just demolition. What we were told is that possibly some partnership with maybe the military as a training exercise.
Okay, as a target. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, that'd be kind of cool.
We'll see.
Well, I want that press release.
Okay. You're on our list.
Ooh. That's dangerous. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, the budget is obviously part of the challenge, whether it's with getting the pulp mill cleaned up, keeping it clean, getting it ready for whatever the next utilization of that site will be. What does the budget look like for this year?
It's pretty good. I mean, it's better than our past budgets for sure. They've been getting better and better over the last few years. Our revenues have definitely increased, and we have definitely changed course with regards to that. Our new he's not new anymore, but our current executive director has just been a very entrepreneurial person in really working hard to get tenants in the locations where we can on all our properties and really utilizing those revenue sources to leverage more infrastructure to create more opportunity for business in those areas. And so that's been very helpful and very good, and a lot of creativity has gone into that. And so now we have tenants at Berth 1, which is the old mill site in Samoa, and we have tenants now in Berth 2, which is at the pulp mill site. All of them are seafood or aquaculture related currently, but we have exclusive rights to negotiate agreements with others for, you know, kind of more industrial uses of those areas. So things are happening. It's really kind of moving pretty well. And
The dock itself, wasn't that an area of emphasis also?
Yeah. Well, currently the dock, we have two docks. We have the Berth 1 and Berth 2. And so the dock Berth 1, which is at Samoa, has a crane on it now for basically to service the fishing industry. So now they can store crab pots out there and really utilize that site. And the building out there is likely to be leased to an operator that's going to do a fishery called hagfish, or sometimes they call it slime eel, which is a very interesting fishery.
Kind of puts it both in the same perspective where I stand, yeah. Well,
and it's a live fish fishery. They collect the fish out in the ocean, but they bring them in live, and they're processed at the site by processing. I mean, they're really just put in bags in coolers, and they're oxygenated, and they're shipped live to Korea where they're sold live in Korea. And so that's been going pretty well. And our boatyard down in the King Salmon area, Fields Landing, is doing a lot of business and has been really cleaned up, and the stormwater system's up and operational, and we have a lot of tenants. So, like I said, the revenues are up, but because there's so much action, there's also the spending is up from, you know, basically leveraging that for more activity.
I think most of us look at the net.
Mm-hmm.
Net plus, net minus.
Net about even.
Okay.
Yeah, so, which is good.
A lot of activity.
Well, we've been doing net minuses for some years in the past, and so we're glad to be out of that zone so much.
All that is on the land side. What about the bay itself? Is that doing and performing the way that you were hoping, you know, the dredging and the aquaculture that's in the bay that we typically hear an awful lot more about, are those also producing at that same level?
Well, the aquaculture, in terms of the oysters, they're always at capacity. I mean, there's not a lull in that market because the United States imports 92% of its seafood. This is a seafood that people want fresh and live. Every oyster produced is an oyster that can be sold. And so we're working with them to try and, you know, basically build out that industry and build out that use within Humboldt Bay.
Can they? There's no dredging that's associated with that or direct benefit, is there?
Minor amounts of dredging occur at the locations where they load in and out product from that they collect in the bay at their facility.
But not where the stakes are themselves.
No. Not where you see the you know what I call the vineyards out there.
The barge, yeah.
Yeah, because they're off bottom now. Certainly not. The issues with that tend to be focused around whether or not there's impacts to eelgrass or maybe bird species like brant or something like that. That tends to be what people have concerns about.
But isn't that more the South Bay?
We don't have any
the refuge?
Well, they all those exist in the South Bay, but even if you do those activities in the North Bay, there are still those natural resources do exist in the North Bay. They're not the same level as they are in the South Bay, and they don't have the same level of protections necessarily because it's not a you know, it's not a refuge like that. But at the same time, you know, these estuarine systems are really very special, and they produce a lot of, you know, fisheries, nursery stock, and they're great for, basically they grow a lot of bioactivity, a lot of food.
Does the eelgrass get in the way of the oysters?
Well, no, I don't know what
you
mean by that.
Are they complementary?
Well, they can. Well, that's an interesting question. You know, you can grow oysters in a way that negatively impacts eelgrass, which is considered a special habitat for fish. But you can also grow oysters in a way that's minimal in its impact to eelgrass, and that's the methods that, you know, that we promote.
That's just being used here.
Yeah, and so there is that. But on the other side, eelgrass probably, and they're looking at studies, has a buffering effect with regards to ocean acidification and acidity within, which is now becoming more of an issue on the West Coast. And so, you know, we're seeing the possibility of eelgrass itself benefiting, you know, oyster production in
but it doesn't get in the way of some of the other economic interests.
Well, it is in of itself a resource that creates an economic interest. Eelgrass is a valuable resource for habitat for other fish stocks that we value. So in terms of like asking if they're competing with one another, I think they can coexist.
But that doesn't limit by itself economic development in the north end of the bay.
Well, it is one of the areas that we try to avoid. So if there's an area of eelgrass that's very that's dominated by eelgrass very thickly, then you're definitely gonna either avoid or modify your aquaculture practices in those areas to protect it. Yes.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson from the Harbor District. Mike, some of the different challenges with zoning. I know that the county is wrestling with it,
mm-hmm.
with the general plan. Mm-hmm. Cities.
Mm-hmm. Eureka's now in
their
general plan
process.
Probably
not too challenged because either it's happening more regularly or just the space configuration is a little bit. I mean, Fortuna's Fortuna, Eureka's Eureka, Arcata's Arcata. You're not having as many competing interests in these areas as you do countywide, just because there's so many more inputs, so to speak.
It's only more elections.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Is there anything that's an equivalent of a general plan for the Bay?
Well, kind of. I mean, there is the general plan, and that dictates what. Or basically informs what is the local coastal plan, and the local coastal plan is basically, you know, teed off of the general plan. So we have a general plan. It was last updated in 1984. There's been lots of conversations, I'm sure, in this very studio about that very subject, and the bay or the lands around it that aren't within the city of Eureka or the city of Arcata are governed by that general plan, and the local coastal plan as a layer over top of that. So yeah, I mean, we do have that those planning documents, and we do seek often to try and update those as much as we can, both as projects come up, but also in just the general plan process. And even now, our district is working with the city of Eureka because we have common interests in this, and staff at the city of, or excuse me, at the county, to really look at this issue of coastal dependent industrial zoning, which we have around Humboldt Bay. We have a lot of that zoning, and it's very, very restrictive in its uses. And we have a lot of opportunities to use those areas for some of these industrial purposes that don't necessarily, at this current time, we would have a hard time calling them coastal dependent because they don't have a direct nexus to a ship necessarily.
Well, and that's really been the biggest from what I understand, the biggest challenge in trying to develop along the waterfront area of Eureka is you've got this standard that may be applicable in other communities, but here it's so difficult to get through it, to hit these definitions, and consequently you have gravel lots, weeds, you know, things like
part of it,
you can say also the value of the land and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the value is predicated on what you can do with it. So,
well, and the demand, to do anything on it.
Right. And so, but we're seeing, I mean, Eureka definitely is in that discussion now, and we're involved in that a little bit because we are having that discussion with them with regards to Woodley Island. Woodley Island is within the city of Eureka. It's part of their general plan update. We would like to see.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. In the back of my head, I thought when it was created with Redwood Park One monies.
Uh-huh.
That, which predated the Coastal Commission,
right?
That there, everything was permitted out there. So if you want a restaurant, you don't have to go. You know, in that one area at the end where there's supposed to be a restaurant that now doesn't have one. That you wouldn't have to go through the permitting process,
right? In the current,
because it was already taken care of, so that it would it'd be more attractive and easier for somebody to put a restaurant there.
And you would think, and to some degree that's true. You know, that permit was and that's actually part of the coastal development permit for that area. And it has a special zoning there, and it's very specific. And so that list of very specific activities, one of which you talked about is, say, a new restaurant, is on that list. But that list was created in 1970 or whatever it is, under a plan that met those uses back then. And so what we're asking the city to consider is to look at what might be future uses and see if we can get some flexibility in there and how we address that. And
like a hotel instead of a restaurant?
Well, I think actually hotel is on that list, but we're not necessarily.
Because Princess tried to do that and they got shot down.
Yeah, that's before my time.
Oh, you're gonna play that one? Huh? Okay,
I play that one all the time around here, Brian.
it would seem to me, you know, if you guys are having with the success you guys are having on the western side of the bay along the spit, that somebody would be looking at Woodley Island and go, are you kidding me? There's not a hotel on the water? There's not a restaurant that's facing that? Are you kidding me? And they would be having people line up to do this.
Well, yeah, and there's the desire for, I mean, Woodley Island in itself, and you were talking about the budget, is its own deficit for us. Like, we have been closing the gap on that over the last few years in terms of spending and revenues. The biggest thing we did really was to begin to charge for electricity at the slips instead of just having it free, which not only we reduced that cost to us, but we also reduced the use of electricity in the marina by 40%. And so that's just as one example. And so what we would like to do is, instead of raising slip fees, which is, you know, we only have so many revenue sources for that business unit, slip fees and really the restaurant, right, and a little bit of storage rental.
Don't forget Troy's building now.
Right. Well, so what we're
the weather service.
There's the weather service, but what we're trying to do is to create a more diversity in our revenue streams on that island so that we can create that vitality, which then supports the uses at the marina. And primarily the use we really want to support is really the commercial fishing fleet. And we want to make sure that their uses are protected on there, both because they're a revenue generating source for us and for the community at large, but culturally they're very important. They're actually one of the attractants to the island, that why people would even want to be there to go eat at a restaurant or do whatever, you know, or come to any other of the services that may be there. And so we have to make sure that we're protective of that. And so we're working hard on that. And I'm trying to bring forward to my board a right to fish ordinance, which basically would protect them from any other use we may have in terms of potential conflict, that they're a primary
user. So they would have a priority over
a
restaurant or a hotel?
Exactly. So another user can't necessarily complain unreasonably about, say, noise from a generator or something that's keeping something cool.
Don't you also have the other end?
Mm-hmm.
Where the parking lots are when you first come in, across from the weather service, you got that big old parking lot that's sitting there,
yeah.
But there's property adjacent to that. Is that not available to be developed?
I don't know. Basically,
I hate to say north, south, east, west, because
it
doesn't
line up. Under the current permit with regards to Whidley Island, you know, the sort of quote-unquote developable land, or really the land that's under that sort of zoning, is everything you see that's paved and the grassy lands between those areas that are paved and within those fence lines. So more or less what you see there. So anything outside of that is a wildlife area.
There is some space there that would be available.
Yeah, sure.
To work with.
Sure. And so we're looking for those, again, those revenue generating opportunities so that, again, we can support and protect the marina use, because it is the centroid, you know, of that. And part of that, too, is we have these natural areas on Whidley Island that need to be protected. And we have just reenacted a committee that has been dormant for 20 years that has the Fish and Wildlife and the
Is that like where the trees are, the spruce trees are, and that mm-hmm. one spot across from where your guys' office is that just
Yeah, there's that field over there.
There.
Right, exactly. And so we're looking at ways to actually make that more biodynamic in terms of, and bioproductive in terms of species that are target species.
You're not
going to
bring
agencies.
Back the hunting club.
I don't think there'll be a hunting club there.
No.
Okay. But we would like to make sure it's as valuable as possible as a wildlife area can be, because that's what it's there for.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540227, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson from the Harbor District. Mike, before the break, you were talking about economic development
mm-hmm.
and revenue sources, and then you said wildlife preserve.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to me that wildlife preserves really generate an awful lot of money if you've got that spot that's there, if somebody was wanting to do something, whatever it might happen to be, and pay rent or a percentage of their gross revenue. Are those two positions at opposites?
No, I don't think so. Certainly, I mean, Humboldt County, we live in a beautiful place, and it's part of our economy, right? And it's part of why people want to be here. And one of the things on Whidley Island is that natural area, that wildlife area, was designated for that use, that the creation of the development of Whidley Island. And we would like to see it to be more of an asset from the perspective of a visitor actually being able to, you know, want to come out there and
wander through it, go into it.
Well, I don't even
know. Interpretive centers, that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it'd be that active, but something a little more passive than that. But basically, there's a great opportunity to really build up the wildlife value of that and thus have people want to come and take a look at that. And
what
then
is,
while
what
they're
is there.
You know, right now it's just a field, and then but there's a
well, not the field, but the trees between that and the weather station.
The trees, there's a few.
Is there anything
trees
in there, or
in
is
there.
It just kind of roped off?
It's just basically fenced off, and then there's a great riparian habitat that's basically along the water's edge, which is, you know, those spruce and alders and willows, and there can be a lot more of that, and there's a need for that.
So you think like maybe like elevated deck walkway kind of thing?
I have no idea. I mean, really.
Okay, it's not to that point.
I mean, you're asking me like what the value of these wildlife areas are and
well, as far as attracting people and generating monies for the island, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Right. Well, you
know, selling T-shirts I don't think is in that.
No, but getting people there who it's just an added value when you're coming to eat at the restaurant or take a walk around or rent a kayak or canoe, or they don't have canoes, but rent a kayak that they have there or basically be there. It's a wonderful, beautiful spot, and there's no reason why we can't make it better and more visitor serving.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me. It's always Good. I'm going to have to go get another cup of coffee now.
Jumpstart you. You betcha. Try us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.